Okay, then we'll get started. So this is the Sustainability Commission meeting. It's Tuesday, November 17th at 7 p.m. I'll go ahead and do the roll call. Lisa Gillis.
Here.
Eric Simon.
Here.
Beth Chang.
Here.
Carrie McLean. Susan Charette.
Here.
Shannon Roberts.
Here.
Lauren Behan.
Here.
Ellie Raitt.
Here.
Charlotte Meyer.
Here.
Luke Gilfillan.
Here.
Charles Roger.
Here.
Okay, that's everyone. We don't have any public comment, so we can go to the adoption of the meeting minutes. Is there any questions on the minutes?
I just had two small comments. The first one is in Lauren's report where it says green for good. That's normally written green with a capital G, then the number four, and then capital G good. I mean, it's sort of a how it's identified. And then if you want to, under my report, instead of saying many Parkway Gardens, you could say five, or to be a little more precise. You see that under Susan, it says many Parkway Gardens. Yeah. You could just say five. Yeah.
Sure.
Those were my only comments.
Okay. Okay, so to approve the minutes, everybody just say aye.
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 Thank you.
Aye.
So we'll go ahead and go to commissioner reports. Hey, Lisa, I just let you back in the meeting. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
We go in a particular order, or can I go first? Because I might have to jump off for a call.
That would be perfect. Please go.
Okay, mine is very short. Let's see, where's Ellie? Is Ellie here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, okay. So Ellie can actually also chime in on the River Forest Tree Trails, but we ran it again in the month of October, and it's taking us a little while to announce the winner, just because she was going to take a picture of herself. But I think, is it Mimi Lannan, Ellie? Basically, Ellie did the drawing out of a group of about 28 students from Mr. Catholic's class who turned them in, and I have their sheets and have to figure out, you know, what, if anything, fun we can do with it eventually to kind of maybe compile the answers and share them in some way. But that was pretty cool. And I think as soon as I have the name and a picture, then I'll send it on to Sarah Pfeiffer, and you know, she can figure out if maybe it can go in the December e-newsletter. And John, thanks for responding so promptly to already set up the composting. So I think it got like a little cold in October. I thought we would get more of a bump from the nice article from the journal. But I think that, you know, there's probably potential to build upon this next year. And Ellie, do you want to add anything? I want to just give a big shout out to Ellie and for all her work on this.
Well, thank you. It's been really fun. I don't really have any updates other than that. Beth and I know all the same stuff, I think. So, congrats to Mimi.
Yeah. That's it for me.
Okay, does anybody want to go next?
I can go next. Let me pull up my notes here. All right, so it was a busy time, I think, between our last meeting and now, but I'll be brief on kind of what we've attended. The nice thing is things seem to be, you know, I know things are shutting back down, but things from a MMC standpoint and some other things are kind of actually heating up, which is great. So on Thursday, October 15th, I attended the Interfaith Green Network annual breakfast. So I don't know if other people on this call have been to it. We typically have a few people that go from the commission, either representing the commission or perhaps representing their local congregations. But it's an annual breakfast that the IGN puts on. It's always very well attended. It's always quite nice. Obviously, it was you know, remote this year, so it wasn't quite the same. But you know, just really briefly, the keynote presentation was by Reverend Brian Souter, who's a Mennonite minister, but he's the president of an organization called Faith in Place, which is really kind of fascinating work they do. And it was a very interesting talk he did about basically environmental justice and how climate change, racism, and even the pandemic kind of all really dovetail together to create real problems. And his take on it was from a faith standpoint, but very much rooted in, you know, the environment as a key tenet of faith. And then of course, working in the injustices that various communities suffer because of climate change. So super interesting. If anyone's interested in that presentation, let me know in chat or send me an email, because I can send you the PowerPoint that he did. The guy's really interesting dude. And then usually after that, you know, there's workshops, which we still did over Zoom, which were kind of cool. Usually Gary Kinneen does an update on Seven Generations Ahead and what they're up to. So there were various updates from him as well as other leaders, including some faith leaders as well, on sustainable and green efforts in the community. For those of you that don't know what the Interfaith Green Network is, it's a organization, just like it sounds, an organization of many local congregations. I think there's like 29 or something. So it's most of them. And it's usually their green committees or it's their actual, you know, leaders who really are trying to do things to be more environmental, and they're actually combining their efforts to do so. So if one congregation, if one church, for example, tries to buy compostable plates and cups and napkins, disposables, it could be expensive, but if 25 congregations get together and buy them, they can take advantage of those opportunities. So it's things like that they're really talking about. A lot of talk about solar as well. So that was on the 15th. On Tuesday the 20th was the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus Environment Committee Energy Subcommittee, which I represent us on. And that was about basically the draft of what they're calling, it's basically a climate planning project. This is something that the mayor's caucus has been working on for about a year, and they've been working on it with three other regions, as well as some international organizations as well. It's a big body of work. There's not enough time on this call to kind of go through it all, but basically, it's something that we will put online on our Google Docs page, so people can look at a lot of the information on this. But
it's called the climate what project, Eric?
It's called the climate planning project. Regional climate planning project. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's all really kind of around, you know, greenhouse gas reduction. So it was a very interesting meeting because they're really far on this, and there's a lot of work done on it. And the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus is really just part of like a bigger international cooperative that is trying to adopt very similar, tactics on how they're tackling this type of stuff. Keep in mind the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus, you know, drives a lot of the choices the city of Chicago makes, as well as over 100 of the local communities around here, including us. That was on the 20th, and then today was another Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus Environment Committee Energy Subcommittee meeting that is on the agenda for later. But I will mention one part of today's meeting, which I won't be talking about later on the agenda, which is half the meeting was about optimizing municipal pathways to engage consumers in smart residential energy use. Basically, there was speakers from the Citizen Utility Board, as well as the Illinois Science and Energy Innovation Foundation, who has provided a grant for this. And in short, so I don't hog this whole meeting, really, this is to try to find ways to implement energy education and energy tactics with underserved communities. So this is like, you know, how we're trying to get people to understand that ComEd has free, free audits. They'll come in, they'll look at your home or apartment or whatever, and then actually they will pay for a bunch of the improvements. It's getting that kind of information out to communities that are generally underserved and getting information about how they can save money. And that's kind of what it's built around is, you know, seniors and low income communities, you know, could really save money if they took advantage of these programs, but they don't get the information. So the cool thing is there's this big grant that's been given really to the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus to really help kind of try to bridge that gap. That's all I have, Lisa. That was a lot, sorry.
No, that was great, thank you. Thank you for your all that you did this month. That's pretty darn awesome.
Good month.
Okay. Susan, do you want to go?
Sure, yeah. So the main thing I'm going to report on is there was a Planet Green meeting this morning. And for people who don't know what Planet Green is, it's a sustainability plan between Oak Park and River Forest. And there's a core team that meets once a month. And it was a 10-year project, which is coming to an end this year. So as part of today's meeting, there was a review done by the Center for Neighborhood Technology. And I can put, there's an executive summary from that. It's kind of lengthy, but I can put that up on the Google or forward it to Lisa to put up. But I just wanted to mention that the areas that this review focused or identified as should be the focus going forward is renewable energy, waste reduction, and water as being the highest, but also that it should address racial equity. So getting back to the environmental justice that Eric brought up, and that there should be a move to expand to neighboring communities. So there's a lot of support for that. Let's see. Also, I just want to mention that the Village of Oak Park is working on a climate action plan and that Mindy, who is a sustainability person for Oak Park, is working on a greenhouse gas inventory. So maybe that's something that we could share information on for Shannon. And lastly, that on December 9th, there'll be a leaders forum. This is sort of the culmination of each year. And this year, there'll be representation from the city of Ann Arbor who will be presenting their climate action plan and more to come on that. And then the only other thing I want to mention from the meeting is that at each of the past meetings, it's come up that Mark Berger, who's the solar consultant for Seven Generations Ahead, is in conversations with Maywood to look into solar partnerships. So I think that's really encouraging. And that's it.
Great. Okay. Basically, let me just say that, what did I do? We have a resident volunteer named Maggie Clancy, who she and I finally connected to talk about green buses, believe it or not, green transportation. She, in her work, works for a company that focuses on green buses, and we do have to make sure that we kind of keep keep a divide between what she does for a living and how she might help some of the schools in our village. But we think it's her knowledge could be most helpful, particularly for Trinity High School, which whose buses are actually at the end of their life and they need new buses. Dominican, for those that live in River Forest, both buses kind of go back and forth to the train stations, go back and forth between campuses, et cetera. Concordia has buses and Grace Lutheran has buses. So the thought is, Maggie is offered to help to meet with these entities and kind of educate them on kind of the state of the state with regard to green transportation, specifically green buses, and share with them where they can get grants to offset the cost of these green buses. And interestingly enough, literally about the same time, and there was the meeting about that Eric attended with regard to electric vehicles, and the two things kind of go hand in hand. So we'll work to get Maggie and Eric connected. At the same time, I'm working with Kathy Aducey for her to make introductions, introduce Maggie to the head of transportation for Dominican, the head of transportation for Grace Lutheran, the head of transportation for Concordia, and the head of transportation, which actually is the CFO of Trinity High School. So I'm very excited to have, you know, a resident volunteer who, you know, kind of has a specialist function that she, you know, kind of wants to share with the village with an eye purely to kind of, you know, making this a better place through a reduction in greenhouse gas emissions tied to kind of diesel fuel that most of these buses run on. I did speak with all of you with regard to, you know, initiatives this month. Again, I think we're trying to keep our meetings to 90 minutes. So toward that end, if there's specific deep dives we need to do on projects, let's try to do them outside of these meetings. We do have to maintain or keep to the Open Meetings Act, which is no more than two of us at a time, but I think it worked well this month. And no, that doesn't apply to student commissioners. So I did onboard all four student commissioners while like earlier this month. And then I think it's, I don't know, did we talk last month, John Sullivan, about, John Anderson? I always call you John Sullivan. So one day I'm going to figure out why. So there's some deep rooted thing going on there. But anyway, did we attend the, get our award in between our two meetings?
Mm-hmm. Right. I don't think we had gotten it at the last meeting.
Yeah. We did get our award, and it's very exciting, from the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District for kind of the sustainability commission and all that we're doing with regard to native plantings and flood mitigation. So I'll share with you, I'm hoping, the letter. So basically, on behalf of all the men and women at the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago, I want to extend my heartfelt congratulations for winning the 2020 Sustainable Landscaping Award. So we're pretty proud. We did get a, they came afterwards. It was all very like online and, you know, socially distant. So it was, you know, not as grand an event as it might have been, but we did get, you know, a trophy. And unfortunately, I don't know, John, if you have, like, I can't, it's too big. But anyway, I can send it out to everybody afterwards. It's too big to share. It'll take up the whole screen and you'll only see a part of it. But it is very nice, and it's, I guess it'll, we'll put it someplace, you know, in the village to represent.
Lisa,
all of our efforts. Yes.
Do we all get to party with the trophy for like 2 weeks, like the Stanley Cup?
Oh, that would be actually kind of cool. We can kind of give it to everybody's house. You can take pictures, put it on Facebook. That would be something we can work out. I think you'd have to check it out from John.
I call Christmas.
Excuse me?
I call Christmas.
Okay. And thank you in terms of some of the, you know, River Forest Sustainability Commission meetings that are on the horizon. Eric, I knew you attended today. Susan, you're going to attend on December 9th. That's awesome. Some things that I actually went through, kind of some of the requested action per Julie's calendar for me. One is, and Susan, this is for you, the Parkway for Pollinator Report for Planet Green is due this month. So I don't know if you can find out from Gary exactly what he needs from us. I can probably find the one that we did last year, but it basically validates that we've done what we're supposed to do for our grant. And then Lauren, and I think you have to go next. I think, John, do we change the schedule for compost pickup? Like during the winter?
Oh yeah, it goes every other week.
Not till December though, John, right?
Right, December is when that begins.
So November is normal, and then whatever the first Tuesday in December is, that's what it is.
Right. Okay, so then Julie used to send out, or used to organize sending out an email to all compost subscribers so that they know the new schedule. John, is that something that we would do through you or through Roy Strom?
Right. I think I did that.
Okay.
So I
have been channeling my best Julie now from her calendar that we have to do those two things. So
right, okay.
Okay.
So will somebody forward me last year's?
I can find it, yes.
And also the due date?
That I don't know. So I would ask ask your friends at Planet Green, they might know. Okay. And then Lauren, I think you have to go.
All right, sorry, I got a visitor in here. The pumpkin smash was Saturday, November 7th, and the weather could not have been better. Green for Good Club collected, and you guys might have seen it in the newsletter, 805 pumpkins, which was an astronomical increase from last year at 512. So it was a big increase. And the poundage was 8,260 pounds. So big landfill diversion for the Green for Good Club. So they were really proud. So, and a lot of people came out and everyone was respectful of, you know, social distancing. I think it was a great event. So looking forward to it next year too. And then also myself and Charlotte and Luke were able to connect last week initially, and we're gonna start work on moving forward with different composting activities. So I'm looking forward to working with them.
Awesome. Well, that's a good segue. Anybody else has, oh, Shannon, you have to go, sorry.
I don't have much of a report, but I can dive into my big topic whenever we're ready. So.
Okay, perfect. Thanks. So then why don't we segue into each, we have four student commissioners this year. They've all been, kind of duly sworn in and all that kind of stuff. And we have paired them. Two will be working with Lauren on composting, and two will be working with Carrie McLean on Meatless Mondays. So if you guys would maybe just take turns and introduce yourselves, that would be awesome. And actually, you know what, why don't we all do it? Because I think you have heard from each of us, but you might not know kind of who we are. And you've met me, I chair this, the Sustainability Commission, a great group, they do a ton of work. So with that said, Eric, why don't you just introduce yourself and kind of what you focus on, and we'll just kind of keep going around.
Yeah, you bet. Hi, Eric Simon. I know a couple of you. I've been on the commission since the beginning, actually, and my focus has been on energy, really focusing around solar adoption in River Forest, as well as other sustainable energy projects, including electric vehicle charging, which I'll be talking about later. Anything that really has to do with energy economy and energy savings. So, and you'll hear more from me a little bit later. Welcome.
Okay, Lauren, do you want to go? Just a quick intro.
Yeah. I'm Lauren Behan. I joined the commission maybe a little over 6 months ago, and I've been working on waste diversion efforts, specifically focused now on composting.
Hey, Beth, do you want to go in case you have to leave?
Yeah. So I'm Beth Chang, and I've been on the commission not quite from the beginning, but maybe the second year. And when I first started, we had sort of an education group, so that's where my focus was. And then I've also worked on energy issues with Eric, and this year I'm focusing more with Shannon on impact and how do we measure the impact of our work. I worked with Ellie this summer on the tree trails, and it was a really great experience. So really excited to have more young energy. And I know Charlotte because she lives down the street from me. And really excited to see how, you know, you've kind of grown with all the sustainability opportunities starting with Green for Good. So welcome.
Hey, Susan, would you like to go?
Sure. My name is Susan Charette. I've been on the commission for almost a year and a half. I took over from one of the initial members. And let's see, I'm the representative to Planet Green, as you inferred. I oversee the parkways for pollinators. You may have seen these gardens on parkways. I think we're up to 50, 55-ish gardens by now after 3 years in the program. And I do other kind of, let's see, how do you say that overall, green landscaping initiatives, I guess, community garden and other things like that. And I think Charlotte was one of my students way back. I might have taught you how to knit. Does that sound right, Charlotte? Yeah.
Okay, Shannon, you want to introduce yourself and Clark?
Yeah. So hi, I'm Shannon, and this is Clark. We come as a package deal sometimes, but I joined the commission just over 2 years ago, and I've been mainly focused in supporting the commission with developing metrics, and we're going to talk a little bit about the carbon, our greenhouse gas or carbon inventory tonight. And I do work in sustainability consulting as a profession, so I'm really passionate about this topic. And you know, one of the best things about when I joined the commission was, you guys will see, it's totally incredible all the really neat and thoughtful initiatives that River Forest has in place through the Sustainability Commission to really put us in a leading position related to sustainability. So I don't think it gets any better than this for the size of the community we're in. So it's really fun, really neat, and excited to work with you guys. So nice to meet you all.
Okay, Ellie, why don't you go? We know you, but you have to take a turn as well.
Okay. Hi, I'm Ellie Raitt. I joined the commission a little bit over a year ago as a student commissioner. Last year, I mostly focused on making school supplies more sustainable in District 90 schools. And then over the summer, I worked with Beth on tree trails, which, as she said, was really fun. And then now I'm starting to work with Charles and Carrie on Meatless Mondays.
Okay, Charlotte, do you want to go? I'm just picking randomly based on the screen.
Okay. I'm Charlotte Meyer. I'm new here. And I'm now working with Luke and Mrs. Behan on the composting projects.
Charles, do you want to go?
Sure. I'm Charles Rager. I just joined, obviously, and I'm working with Ellie and Carrie on Meatless Mondays right now.
And Luke, last but not least, of course.
Hi, I'm Luke Gilfillan. I'm a junior, and I'm working with Charlotte on composting. So I'm really excited for that.
Great. Well, we're glad to have you all here. You all are juniors, right, from OPRF? Right?
I'm a sophomore.
Oh, you're a sophomore, Ellie? Okay. And the rest of you are juniors. Not that it matters, but just to kind of provide some, you know, kind of additional information about all of you. Okay, well, welcome. We do try to keep these meetings to start on time and end on time. So I'm gonna keep on moving through introduction.
And Lisa, I'm sorry, I have to step away for a little bit. When are you trying to end the meeting?
We're going to try to end it at 8:30, try to keep
okay. I'll hopefully try to get back for Shannon's discussion. I'm not sure how long my call will be. Thanks. I'll come back.
Okay. Well, then why don't we switch? Because I think we had the next person was going to be Shannon. So Shannon, well, actually, I guess the question is, Shannon, do you, how long do we have you because of Clark? Should we have you go first? Yes.
We're probably okay. We'll make it work.
Okay, so I can have something else in case Beth can come back and hear.
Yeah, I'll wait for Beth.
Okay. Okay, so Eric, how about if you speak a little bit about the Mayor's Caucus for Electric Vehicle Readiness?
Yeah, you bet. So, so first of all, to back up a little bit for the student commissioners, I'm going to mention the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus a lot. I already mentioned it in my update earlier. The MMC is an organization that River Forest is a member of, as well as I think it's about 110 other communities in our area. So everyone from the city of Chicago to River Forest to like Peoria and you know communities far out there all belong to the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus, which actually does a bunch of work. They have an environmental committee and that is, you know, obviously what we participate in, but they do a lot of other things. And it's actually a big organization with a bunch of employees and they do a lot of good work. So so today, as I mentioned earlier, was a subcommittee meeting with a very specific focus, which was on the EV readiness program. There was about 80 people on the Zoom call. And what this is about, which is something that our community is interested in, is how do we get our community ready for both electric vehicles and then all the infrastructure that is required around electric vehicles, including charging. What has happened recently that makes this now a hot topic is that very similar to SoulSmart, and for the student commissioner, SoulSmart is basically a certification we received to make us a more solar friendly community. Like SoulSmart, the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus has received a grant from the Joyce Foundation, which is a philanthropic organization. And they have hired Greenways to Go to basically run a program to get all of us in a position where we could start making changes in order to ensure that we're ready for the existing electric vehicles that are in our community, but more importantly, the growth of electric vehicles, which by all measurements is expected to grow exponentially over the next 20 to 30 years, and then obviously beyond that. There's a bunch of money out there right now, which is always good for River Forest because we can kind of try to take advantage of a lot of these programs are out there. Besides the funding from the Joyce Foundation that the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus has received to help us and our sister communities, the VW settlement. So, if you guys all remember the VW diesels, which, you know, were not clean diesels as everybody thought for about 25 years. The settlement that VW made with the government was for several billion dollars. And actually most of that money is going towards EV readiness. So there's a pretty decent pot of money being managed by multiple organizations to help communities like us become more EV friendly and ready for electric vehicle growth. So that's another source of funding that we're gonna have available to us through the VW settlements. So long story short, and I'm gonna send you guys a link to the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus's website. A lot of work has already been done on this. The Mayor's Caucus in November of 2019, so over a year ago, kicked off this project and they did 17 listening sessions all over the region, basically going to municipalities. So they went to people like John Anderson, not specifically John, to talk about electrifying municipal fleets, or building electrical infrastructure to accommodate EV charging. They went to community leaders, they went to faith leaders, they went to for-profit manufacturers of electric vehicle cars and charging. And they did this over a period of time and put together just a huge body of work based on all that. And what the output of that was, which has just become available, and you guys can all read up on this stuff, is basically a series of guidelines as well as a guidebook for our community to be able to follow. So the meeting today was actually kind of walking through the resources that have been put together and are now available for us so that we can kind of put together a more comprehensive EV readiness program. There's a bunch of funding available. So Rebuild Illinois, which is part of the, was funded because of the VW settlement, has $70 million designated for investment in EV charging infrastructure. There's several other Chicago-based organizations, including the Congestion Mitigation and Air Quality Improvement Fund, as well as Drive Clean Chicago, that all have money available to us. And then you have cities like Naperville, for example, has basically taken some of that money, and they are providing grants for both residents and non-residents to put in level 2 or level 3 EV charging stations. So a whole bunch of stuff going on around this, and we could take the whole meeting talking about it, but I'm gonna send you guys the link right now in chat. Lisa has already uploaded a bunch of the documents to the Google Drive. My recommendation is, if you are interested in this, is to look at the presentations at the bottom of the MMC page I'm about to send you. There's basically two presentations that kind of explain the program. For next steps for River Forest is, we are really gonna, first of all, understand how this works with the GRC, the Greenest Region Compact objectives, because they're trying to dovetail the two together to make sure we're not having kind of competing initiatives going on. And then secondly, and I want input from the group on this, is we really need to understand from the trustees as well as Kathy Aducey on how far they want us to go on this. And John, this is kind of probably a sidebar conversation we need to have as well, is, what do we want to take advantage of in this? And then we need to really kind of put together a plan, which I'm willing to lead and work with Lisa and others on this, on how we want to implement all these new best practices and all this potential grant funding that is available to us. So I'll stop talking. Is there questions, comments?
Hey, Eric, are they gonna have consultants help us like they did for SoulSmart? Like really pretty much to kind of make it easy?
So not quite as slick as SoulSmart, where we actually had somebody handhold us through the whole thing. Yes, the but is really the main objective of the consultants they hired was to build these resources for us, okay. which they're essentially done doing, but it is now the MMC's job to kind of handhold us through this. So yes, we do have resources available to us to get consulting hours to help us through it.
Cool. So it sounds like, as we had talked about in terms of talking about our budgeting for next year, one of the things that we had talked about is electric vehicles and what do we do about that? So this is something that potentially we can use to not only maybe put in charging stations for people, for retailers, but is this something that we can also do to potentially convert our all of our equipment for the village to electric and things like that?
Yeah, so it's all that. It's everything you mentioned. A big piece of that, which I'm glad you mentioned because I forgot to mention, is the conversion of municipal vehicles to electric. So a bunch of communities have already started doing this. Evanston, Oak Park, Northbrook have taken the low-hanging fruit, which is non-utility municipal vehicles. And they've converted those to, you know, as those vehicles have basically come out of service and needed to be purchased anyways, they've switched those over to electric vehicles. And then there's also an initiative that's being run by one of the local nonprofits to really study the feasibility of utility vehicles being converted to electric, which I think is really interesting in River Force, because River Force is very small, mm-hmm. right? So the problem right now with utility vehicles and electrification is that the range isn't very good yet, but I'm not sure that's something that's relevant in a small community like us. That might be relevant in Naperville or Aurora. But you know, I think we have an advantage being a smaller community here in that we could electrify municipal vehicles and not have any range anxiety.
John, do you know how many vehicles we have that the village owns that would be candidates?
Well, I believe the ones that would be candidates would be kind of like the code enforcement smaller vehicles at this point, right, Eric? And so we really just have a handful of those right now. We also obviously have the police fleet of vehicles, but in terms of public works, we have about 12, a mixture of 12 dump trucks and pickup trucks. So those, I'm not sure about the electric options for those at this point. I think that maybe in the future, but the code vehicles, like I said, it's that a handful of those, maybe like four, something like that.
Well, I mean, you didn't need to do an exact, I just wasn't sure if it was, you know,
single
digits right. or double digits.
Right. It's almost, Lauren, it's almost like, to your point, that's almost better, right? So we're not talking about taking, you know, we're not Evanston that has, you know, 75, you know, municipal small vehicles and trying to convert that, which would be a huge project. This would be a conversation with the village to take four code enforcement small sedans and converting those to electric vehicles, which would require infrastructure to charge them also. So it's not super easy, but it's certainly something that I feel like we should look into if the village is interested. And John is right that the electrification of utility vehicles is not quite there yet. So there was a little bit of a presentation on that today, but they're still a little bit away, but they are coming.
Yeah, and the way the vehicles, the code vehicles I was talking about, the way it works, most of those are kind of hand-me-downs from the police fleet, and they just take everything off and use those because they're still working. So I would say it may just be one or two that are totally for the purpose of code that would be up for replacement in terms of how we replace those vehicles, you know, and I'm not sure of the timing on when those would be replaced, but they tend to last a long time, which is good because the mileage just doesn't add up very quickly.
Yeah, and it would be counter to our environmental charter to take a car out of service that, you know, still has life on it. But it sounds like there is potential for, you know, for a pilot program on this at some point in the future.
Right.
And are there synergies potentially with what Maggie's doing in terms of talking to, you know, kind of, we talked about, you know, kind of obviously village government and vehicles there. You talk about residents and subsidizing that, I heard. Could we do institutions that are big users of brown energy right now?
Yeah, so the money that's out there as well as the effort itself is not limited to anything. So it can be commercial, it can be, you know, nonprofit, educational, it could be residential. Now there might be different grants that try to cover different aspects of that, but Lisa, I know you mentioned, you know, the light bus fleet, you know, for our two local colleges, you know, being low hanging fruit. And so, yeah, I think it would behoove us to get, you know, to get them involved early on this, you know, because I'm sure just like John has, I'm sure, Dominican has a fleet of vehicles that they, you know, they use for maintenance and whatever they're using it for.
Yep. Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?
Oh, I'm sorry, Eric, did you mention something about when is the, what the timing is for application should the village want to pursue one of those opportunities?
So it's now, but not with a particular deadline. So today was really kind of the kickoff of the program, right? So it's been a year plus in the making. The final, you know, resources are done. They asked today if, you know, for us to indicate our interest in all the different various aspects. I just, as a default, said all of them. So I think like now is kind of the start of the process for the MMC to try to determine who's interested in what, and then begin the processes of sorting that out.
Got it.
But I think we need to get our ducks in a row. So that's the next thing that I need to work on with you guys is what's our priorities and what do we go after? We can't do it all. So what are we gonna do? All right, thanks everybody. If anyone has feedback, just let me know. I did in chat put the link to the MMC site, and this is a good reminder to go visit the Google Docs page, because Lisa uploaded a bunch of documentation on this program there.
Yep, and that's a good shout out that we should always really try to put as much as we can out on that Google Drive. I've been really trying to work hard to make sure I do that. Because that repository of information is owned ultimately by the village and kind of transcends all of us, which is good. That's what we'd like. Let me cover out one other thing and then we can switch to metrics. And I think that on a going forward basis, I just want to kind of cover you off, because I've been, I think you guys are all aware that we have an editorial calendar that is maintained on Google Docs, and I'm trying to basically set it up such that over time, like, it's a no-brainer. Like, so for example, and I kind of got caught without thinking about this until Katie Brennan brought it to my attention, is it's election day. So let's make sure that we have, you know, kind of a bin from Roy Strom there to recycle election day signs. It's pumpkin smash in October. It's, you know, it's holiday lights in December. And John, I do have a Facebook e-news thing for that. So basically—
Yeah, they're supposed to drop it off tomorrow, by the way.
Okay, good.
But I want to make sure they do it before we advertise, because last year they kept saying they would come one day and they didn't show up. So I'll let you know.
Okay, well, I'm gonna submit, I can even give it to you, the Facebook, you know, I kind of drafted something that we can use so that we can let people know. So basically for December, it's definitely going to be holiday lights. And then I'm trying to figure out some way of kind of highlighting recycling, reducing and reusing as we all celebrate the holidays, which is a little tough because anything that's online really talks about parties and things like that, which we're not going to be doing during the time of COVID. So more to come on that front. So with that said, Shannon, can I tee you up? And unfortunately, I was going to be your, I don't know if you can share your documents. I gave them to John today, but I don't think they got out. And I was going to be your AV director, but now that I can't get my computer to work.
Shannon, I'll be your AV director if you want to forward me, or at least if you want to forward me the documents.
Oh, I'm actually all good. So it's all good.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, thank you though.
So do you want me to set you up a little bit or do you want to do your own setup with regard to kind of what we're going to see today, which we're all very excited about?
Actually,
Yeah. Okay. Because basically, okay, and this is exciting, and Susan had mentioned this a little bit with regard to the Village of Oak Park, really trying to measure greenhouse gas emissions and everything. Our mission is to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. In order to achieve our mission, we really need to start measuring. And so last year, we put forth a framework for measurement. And this is our first year. Actually, we're going to get back together and see kind of how did we do. And then the question is, you know, how do we do and where do we go from here? And what are the programs that, you know, kind of obviously most will have most impact on reducing kind of the greenhouse gas metrics that we have. And Shannon has been, and Beth worked together on this, Shannon, with all of her great expertise from Ernst & Young, Beth, individual passion. And I think it helps to have two people working together on something, have really done a great job, and we're here to see the results, and I can't wait. I did get a preview and it's really pretty awesome.
No, thanks, Beth. I'm sorry. Thanks, Lisa. You know, really excited to share this because I have been chipping away at this for a long time and everyone's been very patient with me for it. But kind of exactly how Beth, Lisa.
Okay, just like I called John Sullivan, you can call me Beth. I feel better then.
I guess just, I don't know. So walk through a couple of things and let me know if you can see my screen. But what we kind of set out to do was, so really quickly, I do have a background in sustainability reporting. It's part of what I do as my job. So I'm really familiar with kind of where companies and cities are headed in regards to environmental, social, and governance metrics or sustainability reporting. And we set out almost 2 years ago talking about the idea that we really need to start to collect our metrics. And this is by no means done, but we're starting to kind of get it in a form and fashion, I think, to start talking about it and using it. And really the great thing about having this data at your fingertips is that, you know, when we start looking at it, you can see we can start to, you know, make, to analyze, you know, where we're at, where we're going, and use it to really help us make decisions about initiatives and how we spend money and things like that. It's just really powerful to have data. So I think we all know about, you know, greenhouse gases, and kind of what I'm going to share is kind of an initial greenhouse gas inventory. And what that means is it's really, I have really the process that I've gone about is, I think everyone's familiar with greenhouse gases on this call. Yes. And that they come from a number of human-made sources, especially around, you know, combusting and burning fossil fuels. And there's a number of things that contribute to greenhouse gases. The EPA is obviously like the guiding force in the US. And so what I did to set out to develop a greenhouse gas inventory for River Forest, the first step I took was kind of looking for what would be a framework. So there's a number of frameworks out there that guide how you actually measure your greenhouse gases. Companies, the IPCC is one of the global governing bodies around climate change and greenhouse gases. EPA actually uses a lot of their guidance. Companies typically use IPCC and EPA when they're measuring themselves. And then both of those, when you're looking at community greenhouse gases, I was actually pointed to what is called ICLEI. So it's the Local Governments for Sustainability. It's the U.S. Community Protocol for Accounting and Reporting of Greenhouse Gas Emissions. And this is a very loaded 100 plus page document that basically spells out all of the different sources that a community like us. So what are all the different sources that we should consider in scope for when we're measuring our own greenhouse gas footprint or inventory? So what I did, I did check that this, you know, protocol that I used, it is recognized by the EPA. It's also recognized by what is called the Carbon Disclosure Project. So are you all familiar with CDP or have heard of it? but CDP is a it's a global organization that's been around for a while, and it's a reporting framework that companies and communities are encouraged to voluntarily report, and it provides the framework for how you can report greenhouse gases. And it's a place that they're trying to collect as much data as they can from communities and industries and companies in order to be able to better measure greenhouse gases across the world. And so it's a voluntary, like I said, it's a voluntary initiative. We have not been able to provide our data into this initiative in previous years, but I do think after this year, we could, you know, we could actually give them our last, I'll show you the data I have, and I think we could give it all to them and feel confident that, you know, it's relatively well calculated and aligned with a protocol that's accepted by them. So without further ado, kind of what I did is that, you know, I've built up a database and things like that of all the data that we've had over the years. And a big shout out to the Planet Green Initiative. The reporting that has been done there year over year is very solid. You know, really impressive. You know, the data that they that has been put in there is a really nice comprehensive summary. So a lot of it was leveraged from there. And then John's been supporting me in pulling other data for, you know, more specific things that we've needed to get all of our sources documented, as well as, you know, the last few years since the last Planet Green report is in 2018. And maybe Susan, we can follow up on whether there's one for 2020 that's planned to come out. But so with that, I pulled together and I developed what, using that protocol that I just pointed to, I had to go through and determine what sources were applicable to River Forest. So there's a lot of other types, there's a lot of other sources out there that you can include in your greenhouse gases and greenhouse gas inventory. Because we don't have a lot of industry, there's actually a lot that we were, you know, weren't appropriate to put into our inventory. I don't know if a lot of you remember, but I had shared, it's been a while, I don't even remember when I shared last, but, you know, if I've been using Evanston's as a guide, they've had an inventory in place for a while. And they have additional sources than we do. Like, for example, they have passenger trains, which would be the L, but we considered the L out of scope here since it doesn't really run into, you know, River Forest, and what it does is a negligible number to our inventory. So they also had a lot more industry sources that we didn't, you know, that aren't applicable to us. But this was the overall sources. And then, you know, with that, we can start to plug and play as to being able to show what our inventory looks like. So this is a compilation of all of those sources that we determined were in scope. So the blues, I don't know if you all can read this, but like the blue is natural gas. The orange is electricity use, which obviously are our two biggest sources. That's why it's so neat what we've been able to do with the renewable energy credits. We're starting to chip away at those, you know, our biggest sources. And then from there, it's passenger vehicle use. It's, you know, our waste that goes to landfill. We do get credits for, you know, our waste diversion. And so actually, this is a better chart to share where, you know, I started to show that in 2020, we're going to, you know, approximated where we're going to get our renewable energy credit application. But maybe before I keep going, I'll stop here. Is there any questions or thoughts or comments on this?
This is amazing nerd stuff right now.
Well, I'm so excited, Eric, about what you were talking about, because this all leads into that. And then maybe we can use this to help pay for that or however, but you know, it just all ties together. So,
right. I think it's important to note that, again, if you think about the big contributors are natural gas, you know, electric. And so literally, if we can, you know, bring in electric vehicles, if we can bring in, you know, green buses, if we can like convert a lot of stuff. I mean, that's kind of what's really going to allow us to really make a big dent with regard to our metrics. And certainly making sure that we maintain forest lands, making sure that we continue to compost. That's all very important stuff for us, correct?
Definitely. I think, you know, waste, I think the next thing we can look at is, and we can come back to this one, but I also pulled the other environmental categories. So, I mean, the other things that we can start to plug and play and look at is around waste. Your waste does contribute to your greenhouse gas emissions. So, you know, the more that we can contribute to diverting that waste, which, as you can tell, our total material to landfill, which is this blue here, orange would be the total recycled material, gray would be our total organics composted, and then yellow is where we've started to monitor our monitor our leaves. You know, the more we can get blue down, that's also, you know, that contributes to your greenhouse gas footprint.
Hey, Shannon, for the leaves, was it just not counted from 2016 back? It wasn't like part of the gray at that time, it just wasn't even measured.
I think we didn't measure it.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't realize that Oak Park was including their leaves, and I think Julie figured out somewhere before, maybe in 2017, that might be why it's lower.
Okay.
And we started adding it in, and so, you know, our waste diversion numbers increased a lot after that.
Yeah. Okay, got it. Thanks, Susan.
It'll get interesting. So Shannon, like, what do you, you know, it's going to get interesting, right? Because like, if we do our jobs right, actually electrical usage is going to go up.
Yeah.
You know, with the adoption of electric vehicles. but obviously then that's going to drop, you know, I don't know what the word is, but tailpipe GHG, I guess. How does that manifest itself in this kind of data?
Passenger vehicle.
So, yeah, I think our passenger vehicle use in gasoline will go down, which it doesn't look that significant here, but it will go down. So we will temporarily, Eric, I think, see an increase in you'll see an increase here, you'll see a reduction here, which would be the greenhouse gases from gasoline use. And then the biggest one that's really tough is natural gas, right? But I think like the future and the reality is that like as batteries get better, you know, we'll start to see some of that start to check down as we start to use batteries on in our homes. And I know you probably know a lot about that too, but.
Yeah, actually right now I'm replacing my natural gas generator with a Tesla battery pack. So
like. Are you really?
Yeah. So as that gets more and more, you know, commercially acceptable, that's going to be an interesting conversion we'll see here.
And what's neat about that is like, we can't really do anything with natural gas, right? Or we're really limited. I guess natural gas isn't at offering, you know, renewable offsets too much yet, right? Am I wrong in saying that? But right now we can't really purchase renewable credits related to natural gas. I do think those packaged solutions are actually probably potentially coming out, but with electricity, we can get the offsets through the renewable energy credit programs and purchase power agreements and things like that. So totally, like the more we can, so we will see increases in electricity, but we do have opportunities to offset that. We will see reductions here, hopefully. I will say this is one of the things I don't have. It's one of my follow-ups and kind of perfecting this, that our vehicle data, I was just talking to Lisa about it last night. I think there's opportunities to, you know, make our vehicle data a little bit more, you know, accurate. Not that it's not accurate, I guess, but I was using some old data and things like that. And that's one we probably should monitor really closely in the coming years, because we should see it go down as people start moving to electrical vehicles.
Yeah. And then in theory, I think as we see electric go up, if we start pushing, if we can continue to push solar, wouldn't that work to keep it, the electric from going up, if not like kind of pushing it down?
Yep, exactly.
Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, and one thing I forgot to celebrate is Grace Lutheran, I told Eric this, Grace Lutheran put in some solar panels and literally they put it in the front lawn. So.
Hey, so John. John, do you know if that there was a permit pulled for that? Just kidding.
I have no idea. That would go through the building department, but I don't want to get them in trouble.
Don't get them in trouble because it really is a good use of their space, and it's, you know, it's a badge of honor as far as I'm concerned. But again, that kind of use of putting in solar panels, you know, I know that we talked about, you know, again, is the panels. I actually saw on River Forest, one of the River Forest neighbors pages talking about the Tesla solar panel roofs, the roof tiles, and how that might help. So, you know, I think that the push of green vehicles, reduction in natural gas, increase in use of solar, you know, is probably a great combination.
Didn't Grace Lutheran already have panels on its roof? Is this like a second stage?
I have no idea. I just know that this is pretty in your face. And when I went for a walk, you couldn't help but see it in there.
Which road can you see it from?
Right on Downey Bray. Literally in their front lawn. That's all I'll say. Right next, like to the south of their, the school and church entrance.
And it's not rooftop. It's literally on the lawn.
I go to Grace Lutheran and I can confirm they also did have solar panels on their roof beforehand.
That's cool.
I thought they did that last year.
Yeah, it sounds like they expanded it, which is pretty cool. And then they become, you know, maybe it's something that we can, again, when we can like do outreach to them and, you know, kind of celebrate them and see if we can get, you know, other institutions to follow suit.
We also got them to put in a piece for Parkways for Pollinators Garden too. So yay, Grace Lutheran.
Yeah, actually the Parkways for Pollinators Garden is right in front of their new solar.
Yay. It'll be a destination spot.
It is. Okay, now one thing, Shannon, you were talking about coming out of this is what we might want to you know, tell folks in the community and what we'd put on our website.
Yeah, so I think the idea, and we're open to feedback, was that we would create a web page to, you know, host and launch our greenhouse gas inventory. You know, I think we probably need some simple text to help explain it to the community and why it matters. And also use it as a way to talk about all the great fun things we're doing. So we did, I did like a rough cut in a Word document that I'll send out after this. And I would really appreciate and love everyone's feedback. I think, you know, we'd like to just get in this fashion, and then that way, obviously, we can post it to a web page. But, you know, at this point, we're pretty ready to publish both our greenhouse gas emissions and then our waste and water metrics to just kind of share with the community. And we can use, you know, I would really, you know, I've been in this, so I'd love to hear like what would be a great ways to talk about and introduce this and provide all the links and information and thoughts to help, you know, provide this to the community in a thoughtful way.
I think one of the things we have to do is share it with the board. And maybe when we get the, you know, kind of when we have this extra part of the website together, before it actually, we push it out, we share it with the village. So that they, the village board, so that they understand kind of, you know, again, they have been, you know, taking our advice, you know, thoughtfully. And I think this is a good, and then, you know, this would be a good way to, you know, kind of kick off the new year. And at the same time, then, you know, kind of speak to some of the programs that we think we should be doing in the new year, including, you know, electrical, you know, like taking advantage of the electric vehicle readiness program, you know, continuing, you know, like mentioning, you know, Maggie's work, and hopefully we can get some traction there with, you know, with
green buses, et cetera, because I think that will be, they'll be really, really excited to hear about it. Because I don't think they, you know, we were there last year, we're like, yeah, we're starting to measure, but the measurement is pretty dramatic. And I think it's important for people to know and to understand and get behind.
So everyone's homework will be to read this and comment and give feedback between now and the end of the year.
This is amazing, Shannon. Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, I love the way you presented it. I think it's very clear and eye-catching and better than looking at a bunch of numbers.
Good. I'm glad to hear it. Well, you guys are doing all the hard work to make this number go down. That's the more important part. That's the exciting part is like...
Well, it takes... Getting there. Yeah, it takes us all working together, everybody kind of, you know, focusing on, you know, kind of their passions, you know, their what they're good at, you know, maybe what they're not good at, but they're passionate about, and we're getting better. So, you know, thank you, Shannon, for sharing your expertise to really, like, measure all this great, all the great work that we're all, that you guys are all doing. I'm just coordinating. I'm good at coordinating.
Well, that's important, though. And I don't know, Lisa, did we want to talk about, you know, one of the other things that we had, you know, so that's the environmental metrics, we'll call it, in our greenhouse gas inventory. You know, there's a lot of other opportunity to talk about more, what I'll call more impacts, which are like, they're all impacts, but like, we're doing so many other awesome things. And, you know, there's a lot of data we could be doing to tell those stories too. Or, you know, one of the things I can support for next year is how do we collect data throughout the year so it's really easy to piece together stories or even just, you know, flip things really quickly for, you know, posts and things like that. But, you know, one of the other things we can brainstorm on is, you know, like the pumpkin smash. How do we take that data and make sure that we're hanging on to it and not losing sight of that, you know, things around there's so many, you know, in a non-COVID world, education initiatives that we do. Could we start to collect throughout the year, like how many students or people did we feel like we educated through all of the great sessions that people put on or, you know, everyone shows up to like the university, you know, forums and things like that. So, you know, what's important about that is not only that we did it, but that we actually, you know, we made an impact on potentially hundreds of people over a year. So, you know, there's, now that the environmental is there, you know, we could also start to think about initiative by initiative, how we could be measuring those and articulating those impacts and metrics as well.
Yeah, maybe that's something that we cover kind of in another meeting, or maybe we talk about like, because there is, I guess the good news is when we pull together the strategic plan, we did try to get as much data from Julie as we could. And then we actually found the source of the data for Roy Strom, which is good. But to your point, like, are they the right metrics? Do we need different metrics? I guess I look to you in terms of, you know, do we maybe dedicate one of our next meetings to just brainstorming? What might make sense for us on each of these things.
Yeah, and however, you know, and, you know, we could try to vision, you know, how do we want to be using these things other than in news articles and things like that is, you know, so anyways, yeah, just a way to collect those things and make, you know, more impactful stories and how we tell the value that we're bringing to the community.
Yeah.
Are you talking more along the lines of like an annual report?
We're not, you know, we could do that. So that's the one of the things. Do we want to be doing something like that? We do report through Planet Green every 2 years, but as Susan said, that is ending in 10 years. So I don't know, do we need to think about moving to an annual report? And if we are doing that, it would be way easier to collect the data throughout the year than wait till the end and try to figure out what we're trying to say.
Yeah.
Well, one thing that came up in the review of that I talked about in my commission report is that, you know, they feel like a lot, or through survey groups and focus groups, they found that a lot of people didn't actually see the Planet Green report. So it might be an opportunity for us because the, you know, you are basically using the underlying data from the much of it. And so it might be just another opportunity to get that information out in other venues that wouldn't, you know, wouldn't see it otherwise.
Okay. Any other comments for today?
Clark did a great job on this. He did.
Yeah, huge props to Clark. The real hero.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? We're grooming him for, like, to be a member of the Sustainability Commission in, you know, I don't know, 20 years?
You should have preschool commission. No.
Oh, that's true.
We're 16. 16, future student commission.
Hey, Beth, how are you?
Hey, I probably missed most of the fun.
Good.
Yes, well, Shannon just finished. We're all basically, just to get you caught up, like, we're kind of in awe of all the hard work. And I know that you and she have done, had many countless meetings to kind of, you know, as thought partners to bring it to life. There is an opportunity, we think, to go in front of the board and kind of share. This is what we did. And I think it also helps us to validate kind of where we're kind of spending our focus, and what we were just starting to talk about is then how do we maybe start measuring all those other programs with an eye toward, and again, Shannon, like with an eye toward maybe an annual report for the mission, for the commission, but also in terms of, does any of that, are there different ways that maybe some of those results feed into your, to this overall, like, measure?
Is that a question, or you're just catching me up?
I was catching you up, but again, I think circling back to maybe if we look at those program metrics a little bit differently, it could spark some thought in terms of enhancing the great work that Shannon's already done with regard to the greenhouse gas emissions and looking kind of at, you know, kind of where we're headed.
I think Shannon's work's been totally amazing. And I, you know, I think the other kinds of metrics, I feel like we, with the pandemic slowing a lot of the programs down and stuff, we didn't really do what we wanted to do in terms of saying, let's look at each program and come up with metrics for them. I mean, I was thinking maybe after the first of the year, we could start with things like the pollinator gardens that actually did happen, right? And take a look at those. I totally agree with finding ways to tell kind of impact stories of the other programs. I think from the beginning, like I've always felt like there's this tension with that some of those things you're only going to be able to show an incremental effect on the emissions themselves. So eventually, I do think we need to figure out some other way of talking about how all these programs, you know, like the tree trails thing is, it's kind of indirect, I guess, in terms of getting people to appreciate it. So yeah, maybe that could be like our next thing to tackle. But communicating the greenhouse inventory is a huge job in and of itself, right? I mean, Shannon and I have been talking about it, and now, you know, we can understand each other at the level of like, is that a ton or a metric ton? Is that carbon or carbon dioxide? Is that, you know, whatever? Like, it's really technical. And I think the next challenge is to find, you know, the graph will help a lot, but the next challenge is, well, what's the venue for distributing and talking about this beyond the board? I don't know if Shannon mentioned that I was thinking about, you know, would we want to have the commission want to try to have some kind of a virtual, you know, event? Which was anybody around when we did the, oh, Eric, you were when we did the thing at the library, right? Remember when we had that kind of
we did that
dog and pony show, right? Mm-hmm. I feel like we're still operating under the radar. So we need to figure out some exciting way to roll it out other than just putting it on the website.
No, I think that's a great idea, because I think it gets in the website, and there's a lot of news and information on the website. So how do you make it all stand out?
Yeah, and there's some stuff I guess I didn't even cover, and Beth, you're a good reminder, but like, you know, we had to do a lot of work to get just the tree value. And it's really neat how we got it. Like, Beth, while I was on maternity leave, went in for, like, had in-depth discussions with a PhD from the Morton Arboretum on this iTree tools that had, you know, the data for river forest and our carbon sequestration in our trees. And so there's a lot of neat
cool things that we can highlight as part of that, that some community members have reached out and have interest in too. So I agree, Beth, there's.
Well, yeah, and actually I forgot his name, Bob, Lisa, the person you put me in touch with. Yeah, like I haven't had a chance to figure out how to reintegrate him into things, but someone like him, he's not trained as a teacher, but he used to be a docent, and you know, and he's really into it. He's very knowledgeable about the technical stuff, but he also is really interested in how do you engage people with that information. So I do feel like that's the next thing is for
yeah. He would be a great, again, what I call resident volunteer to help us,
mm-hmm.
right? Many hands make light work. And if he, you know, if we can, you know, maybe, you know, separately, you know, kind of walk him through everything and ask him how he might communicate it. It would just be a different perspective. Someone who's not as close to it. And sometimes, you know, by not being as close, you have that eureka moment on what makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But I like an online event if we can do it with River Forest Library. They're doing a lot of them these days, so.
Yeah, maybe our student commissioners can come help us come up with some way of making like a fun game type thing, right? Game activity.
Yep. Okay.
It'd be really fun to tie all of this stuff. You know, I think Beth and I were talking about this, but one of the maybe dreams would be how do you tie all these individual things to your personal impacts and tie them to all the neat programs we have and do better advertising like compost and how you by composting have an impact on our GHGs and things like that. Put it full circle for everyone.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Okay, so what's next? Since I am like working with two computers, what's next on our agenda? And I think we might have covered it.
It's December community outreach.
Yeah, we already covered that because that's going to be the holiday lights and something about
reducing
the end of the year. And then meeting coverage. Susan, thank you. I know you're covering the meeting for Planet Green. And if there's any other meetings that come up, I'll just shoot out emails to see if we can do a better job. Eric, thank you very much for, you know, kind of covering off a lot of the Mayor's Caucus. So I have to look at those other meetings and make sure we got that covered. And then I don't think we're gonna meet in December unless somebody thinks that we need to. Any thoughts or ideas?
I think a break in December is probably a good idea.
Okay.
When does the board meet though? Is it like the February meeting that you would want to present?
Probably. I think we can just take January for getting back together and organizing and then maybe share it in February. And again, I would like to share, to your point, some of the details in terms of, you know, kind of how we assessed, you know, the impact of the trees, how we got the water data. I think that's all really kind of, we have to do it in a storytelling fashion. We have to bring it to life and, you know, but I do think that, I think they, it's just so impressive. And I just think that they, it'll be important for them to all understand. Okay. So I think we've come to the end of our agenda for today.
What did the students think? New students.
It was awesome. It was very interesting.
I agree. I'm very excited to work with you guys.
Well, we do cover a bunch of broad territories today. What today was actually a pretty amazing meeting with a lot of rich content. So I do thank everybody. And our next meeting is when, John?
It would be January 12th next year.
Okay. So I wish everybody, you know, happy Thanksgiving in a socially distant and responsible manner. And then, you know, whatever your end of year holidays are, I wish you, you know, all the best for them. I thank you for all your hard work this year. You know, here's to a new year. And hopefully one day we can actually have a meeting at Village Hall again.
Okay. Stay safe, everyone.
Yeah, stay safe.
So do we have to, okay, so.
Good to see everyone.
I make a motion that we
adjourn.
Second. Okay.
Aye.
All in favor, aye. Say aye. Thank you.
Aye.
Thanks, everyone.
Right. Have a good night, everyone.
Bye. Bye. See you next year.